there. And then the third place is Matthew 9. So we're looking at Acts 1:8, Matthew 25, Matthew 9. And I've been excited, I tell you, this last week, even though I came down with the flu and stuff here, and I'm still woke up this morning with a fever, and I'm dizzy, and I'm thinking, okay, who do I call? And it wasn't Ghostbusters, but, you know, am I going to be able to make it this morning? But I wanted to come here because I'm so excited about this future that God has for us. The first one is Acts 1:8, where this is Jesus talking. You know, when I asked you to turn there, I should have been turning there too, huh? Now, access in the New Testament, right? I'm just teasing you. Okay, Acts 1:8. All right. Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." We'll probably spend some time talking about this verse. The first part I want to spend lots of time on is where Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." This is a Spirit-filled church, and I want to spend time teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Is speaking in tongues for today, which I believe it is. People ask me, how do I... People always say I'm so busy and I've got all this going on, and I have things going on, and I'm very involved in the life of my children, and you know. But I tell you, I can't make it without speaking in tongues and praying, because as Paul said, that builds up your inner man when you speak in the Spirit, when you pray in the Spirit, and that builds up. That gives me. That's a source of my strength. Otherwise, you know, with the schedule that I do keep, it would be crazy. But I need the Holy Spirit. I need His indwelling. I need His filling for me to be that person that God has called me to be. And what we're going to go through is the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's not just for us to receive those goosebumps. I love going to these services where God's Spirit's moving and, woo, this is awesome, you know. But sometimes if that's just the end of it, if it's just the end of it in itself, to me it's maybe missing it just a little bit. Because we learn through Scripture, even this passage right here, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you will be slain in the Spirit. Oh, no, that might happen, yeah. That's what, you know, when the Spirit moves so strongly, that's gonna happen. But what it's teaching is, you're going to be my witnesses. He gives us that Spirit fulfillment. He gives us that indwelling so we could be His witnesses. We're going to talk about what it means to be a witness in Jerusalem, which is our hometown, in Judea, which is people near us, in Samaria, people that are near us but are different than us, and then to the ends of the earth. That is why we need the Holy Spirit's empowerment and endowment in our lives, because there is a world. Time is slipping away. Time is passing, and we are in the last days, and God needs witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of this earth. So that's the first part that's informed this new direction. The second part is this, Matthew 25. Are you there? Yeah, Matthew 25. Let's start with Matthew 25, 31. This is Jesus talking, and Jesus says, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right, and the goats on His left." So, my passion here is for us to be sheep and not goats, for us to be on the right and not the left here. And Jesus said in 34, "The king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then we learn that it has some eternal ramifications. It says, then they will go to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. I believe that God wants us to reach the least of these in our Judea, in our Jerusalem, in our Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And that's the call I believe that every believer has on his or her life. I don't believe that's just the call for Pathway of Hope, to want to minister healing and love and comfort and clothes to, you know, the least of these. That was Jesus' passion when he was on earth. He was all about that, about going to those that were sick, going to those that were in bondage, and giving them release and freedom. All right, let's look at Matthew 9. This is the third passage. Matthew 9:35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Do you notice that? He had compassion on these people. Then he said to his disciples, The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. He called his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Chapter 10, verse 2 says, These are the names of the 12 apostles. And then see here. Am I reading that? Okay, yeah. I want you to go to verse, this is apostles, but then if you'd go to verse 10:5, Matthew 10:5. After he names all the apostles, he says, These twelve Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach the message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, and freely give. So from this, in this mission of Jesus right here, he's sending them out to the lost sheep of Israel with that commandment, with that commission to heal the sick, to minister God's power to them. Because of that verse, freely you have received. This is what the disciples had received from Jesus. Freely you have received, freely give. So it's those three passages this morning that I believe are informing the direction and the vision for Pathway of Hope. And the statement that I want to make, and this might even be our new mission statement, but it's simply, we see, we care, and we do. We see the needs around us. We care enough about it because Jesus cared enough about it. And we're just not going to just leave it at that. We're going to do something. And doing something might mean by just starting out by committing to pray for it, or it may mean going in with Jesus' hands and his feet to make a difference. We see, we care, we do. I wish I had time to tell you the whole story of how everything evolved to this, but one of the things was even with our softball ministry, because I know it has the potential to be a great ministry, not only for us to be just a witness, but us to fellowship together and to love on each other and hang out. But, you know, it's become pretty competitive out there, you know, and it's just, we're men and we just like to compete. But so I was almost thinking this last Sunday, I did think, you know, we shouldn't do softball anymore because it's just too competitive. And so I just kind of decided in my head, you know, but let's take a year off at least to figure this thing out. And then I said, Lord, if you want to speak to me on this, if you want to do this, please speak to me. I've been praying all Sunday, prayed Monday, nothing was coming, so that was it. Monday I was not feeling great at all, so I went to lay down, and I couldn't sleep. I just lay in there, and I had this picture of a shirt with the team logo right here, and right across the chest, or the stomach right here, I care. I'm playing to fight AIDS in Africa. I've been learning a lot about what's going on in this world, and you know, the media covers it once in a while, but you start investigating it, you'll see that in Africa right now, there's 40 million people that have AIDS, 18 million of them are children. You know, and I told my guys before when they want me to argue a call when we're playing softball, I've told them, you know, I want to do something about genocide in Darfur. I want to do something about AIDS in Africa or poverty in India, but I don't care about arguing that call. It's not worth it to me. You know, that's kind of been my speech the last few games. And the truth is, I do want to do something about those places because I know Jesus cares for them. These little children that have AIDS, they're the least of these. And there's not even a cure. All they can do right now is extend bandages for their wounds and love until they're left to die, basically. The doctors and nurses, they can't keep up with it. The care workers for Compassion International and World Vision International and all these different Christian humanitarian organizations, they just can't keep up with it. But I learned that this last week that World Vision, they're looking for people to make these caregiver packets. And all they are is they give you the list of what they want down to the brand that they prefer so everything's consistent. And you make these little caregiver packets that include bandages and, I'm not going to say gauze, that's what it is. I've got a speech impediment. And washcloths and cotton balls and all these Vaseline and all these things that they need to care for these wounds. And it costs about $30 a packet to make when you buy them. And so I was thinking, all right, if we do this softball league and we're not playing anymore to just compete and we're not playing for that stupid shirt that you know, everyone wants to win, but we're playing for a reason and to make a difference, you know. So I was just trying to sleep. I'm sick, but I just feel that the Lord's speaking to me here. If you're going to, you know, do this, do it for a purpose, for the least of these. And so my idea is to every team, in addition to just playing, they have to raise $250 to be eligible for the playoffs. If every team does that, that's $1,500 that we'll raise for children in Africa, which means we can make 50 caregiver packets. As a church, we'll make this together. We can make these packets that'll minister to about 200 children for like 3 or 4 months. That's what I want to do. I don't want to just play softball anymore. It's not worth it. I need the exercise, but I want to do things for a higher purpose. So we're going to start next week with this goal of bringing awareness to AIDS in Africa and also to the 72 or 75 men that play. We're going to play, you know, not only to win here, but we're going to play winning for children in Africa. And some might say, well, what about children locally? Thank you. Yes, we do want to do that, and we need your help. And in fact, next week, we're trying to get this building rented from 2 to 4 to just have a strategic planning meeting of how we can be in Acts 1:8, Matthew 25, and Matthew 10 church to people in our community. What can we do for La Paloma kids and Casa Los Niños and the Gospel Rescue Mission and all these organizations that are fighting for the least of these in town? I want to be a church that says we see, we care, And we do. Don't you want the kind of church? I want to be his hands and his feet, because time is clicking. You know, we're losing time, and I want to be that. Even if we never have a huge church, and this is, I mean, we're just 125 people. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have 125 people, the same heart and the same mission, to allow your Holy Spirit to fill us in such a way that we cannot turn our backs any longer on those, Lord, that you care about, the least of these. Because when I get to heaven, I want Jesus to say, I was sick, Johnny, and you bandaged my wounds. I was needing clothes, and you clothed me. I want all those things to be said about you, too, because that's what Jesus cares about. I want to care about what Jesus cares about. Don't you? About 2 weeks ago, you probably saw it on CNN that Christians in Orissa are under persecution right now. Has anyone seen that? I just saw it on the news one time. I saw it on my Yahoo News one time, and that was it. But it's still happening today. There is, in India, just like America, your states have local, the states have power to have their own laws. For example, in California, you know, they've legalized homosexual marriages. States have jurisdiction, you know, same way in India. In the state of Orissa, it's still against the law to convert to Christianity. And if you want to be baptized, you have to have a permit from the government to do so. In the state of Orissa, there's estimated 13,000 Christians that have been forced to leave. And what happened 3 weeks ago was there's a Hindu militant group there in Orissa that their leader was murdered, and they blame the Christians for doing it. The Christians did it, so they've been burning churches. I have some pictures I want to show you. I edited these pictures because there's some pictures of children being burned. You see them right in front of the church, dead on the ground, and I don't want to be too graphic, but you can just see right here that there's that's a Hindu extremist group. Go to the next one if you would. They're putting tent shelters up like 50 miles, 100 miles out of the state, and so there's many living near the jungle, some living just in tents right now. In that house, the Christian man looks at his home that's destroyed. There's a girl that's been burned. Is there any more pictures? I was going to show you a video, too, from YP Yohanan. He gives an address just explaining what's going on. Therefore, like, he tells the story of this elderly man that is forced on his knees, and he's holding his Bible, and he's forced to burn his Bible, or he's going to be beat to death. And some people are allowing themselves to be beat to death or burned. Some are just burning it because they don't want to, you know, give in to the demands of some extremist. But that is what's happening in Orissa right now. And you know what's really cool is many of these people, there's about five of them that came to the church that we're planting in Sangamnir. They were in the town, and they were asking, is there a Christian church here? And someone told them about Living Water Fellowship, which we've established over there through my cousin, Dadu. It just touches my heart because... time out. I'm going to try to talk. We sponsor that church. I think we give, what is it, $150 a month, and there's several of you that give faithfully. Fred, I know you're one of them. I want to thank you. Here's what's happening. Our little church plant in Sangamnir, they're taking these Christians from Orissa, and they're taking them in. Remember Jesus said, when did you take me in? You know, I was a stranger and you took me in. That's what they're doing, and they're clothing them. Dadu went out and bought new clothes for all of them. They're feeding them. It's what marvels me. It's my cousin. If you go there, you'll see that he's not rich by any means. You know, they finally have a toilet in their house. Many years, he never even had that. But what it is, it's the least of these reaching out to the least of these, to the lesser of these, you know. It inspires me. He has hardly anything. He has next to nothing. But yet he's taking them in. He's clothing them. He's feeding them. And we're part of it. To me, you don't even know you're a part of it, but you're a part of Jesus' hands right now to people that are under persecution. It makes me proud to be part of this fellowship because we have a vision for for the world. We have a vision for what God wants to do, not only locally, but everywhere, to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of this earth. And I believe that as we just get this passion, renew this passion to minister to the least of these, as we live this life, we're gonna touch people. We're gonna touch people that other people wouldn't be touched by. So there's a lot of things that are in my heart and mind in regard to that that I want to talk to you about next Sunday, and how we can get involved in, you know, feeding meals to the homeless people at Thanksgiving time, and actually having a monthly presence with the Gospel Rescue Mission as they minister to homeless people. I'm meeting with the director this week. How can Pathway of Hope get involved? We want to just not do it at Thanksgiving time, but we want to help and feed the homeless. And I love the Rescue Mission because they're about not just giving a person a, you know that saying, give someone a fish and you give them food for a meal, teach them the fish and they can feed themselves for a lifetime. That's what the Rescue Mission is all about. They're those that commit to their 12-step program, because most of the homeless people there have an alcohol or drug addiction. But those that commit to sobriety, they all, after like a certain, I don't know if it's 3 months what it is, but they have a program of rehabilitation. They teach them computer skills, vocational training. They have, I mean, a lot of ways to get people back on their feet so they can, you know, be a part of society. So, but that's, I'm telling you, that's where we are. And it's we see, we care, and we do. Okay. And I want to close today by, first of all, coming to the Lord's table as a church. And to me, what this morning, it's an identification with Christ. That's what Paul said. He said, I want to identify with Jesus in his death and resurrection. And this morning, as we eat and drink, let's identify with Jesus and him giving his life for many. And let's eat and drink to say, Lord, in the same way that you've done this for me, I want to do this for those around me. Maybe it's not in Arista. Maybe it's just right here in my own neighborhood, my own family. But Lord, I'm inviting you, Lord, to work in me in ways that I've never allowed you to work before, all right? Because I believe that as we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us anew and afresh, what's going to happen is we are going to begin to care the way Jesus cares. I want that for myself. I want to be able to care just the way Jesus cares. Friday, I went for a run, and Mindy had to take John to the doctor, and so I only had a small window of time, so I wasn't going to finish my run. So she was going to drop Daniel with me, so we'd kind of run back together, or we'd walk home. So I told her the route I'm taking, and on the third mile, I see our minivan in the distance, so I just go out, and I just break out in a sprint, because I know that my jog is almost done. So I'm just running as hard as I can. I'm pushing myself, because I'm sick. And I have this kind of philosophy, if you're sick, try to sweat it out or just do something. So I'm running, and I'm trying to, you know, just trying to run and trying to push myself. And so all of a sudden, Mindy comes, and Daniel gets out of the car, and I just lean over like this. And I take my glasses off, and sweat just drops down. And I'm just sweating like crazy. My face, you know, I'm just wet and just drenched. And I'm like this. And I'm about his level, and I'm sweating, and I'm going, and I look up at him. And he takes his shirt, and he starts to wipe off the sweat of my face. I'm like, Daniel, what are you doing? He goes, I'm wiping off your sweat. I'm like, at that instance, I said, Lord, I want to love like a child. I'm stinky, I'm dirty, I'm wet, and he's getting his clothes wet so my face doesn't look so pitiful, you know? I want a child's love. I do. I want to love people. I want to love you. I want to love the world the way my children love me. And I believe that God will empower us to do that. If we just step out and say, here I am. I'm your servant. I'm listening. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray right now your blessing over this time of communion, Lord, where we commune with you, Lord. And I just pray right now, Lord, I just pray thanksgiving, first of all, Lord, for the blood, Lord, that you poured out over us, Lord. I pray thanksgiving, Lord, over your body that was broken so we could be healed from our infirmities, Lord, so we could be healed from our emotional pain. We could be healed from loneliness, Lord. I just thank you for the provision, Lord, that you gave each one of us on the cross, Lord. And right now, Lord, I just pray for us, Lord, that we would just not only identify with what you've done for us, Lord, but our heart would just resonate with your heart of being the people, Lord, that you were on earth, Lord. And I just pray that right now over all of us. Lord, for those that maybe right now, Lord, have never invited you into their lives to be their Lord and Savior, Lord, I just pray that they would do this, do so even this moment, Lord. They would just open their hearts to you, Lord, by saying, Lord, save me. Come into my life. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here that hasn't said yes to you, Lord, they would do so even in these quiet moments, Lord. For those, Lord, that are maybe harboring unforgiveness, Lord, or if there's something, Lord, that's a distraction, Lord, in their walk with you, Lord, I just pray, Lord, they would take heed to your spirit right now, Lord, and just would just ask you to forgive their sins, Lord Jesus. Or whatever that distraction is, Lord, I just pray that they would make a recommitment to you, Lord. Move here amongst us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, if you would distribute this, and we're going to sing this song. I am your servant, and I am listening. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. I need your wisdom, your truth and comfort. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. Speak to me. Through your word, through your spirit, speak your words of life. Speak to me. Speak to me. I am listening. I am waiting. Speak to me. I am your servant, and I am listening. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. My heart is silent. My heart is silent. My soul is longing. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. Speak to me. Through your word, through your spirit, speak your word. Speak to me. I am listening. I am waiting. Speak to me. I'm listening. I am listening. I am waiting. Speak to me. Lord Jesus, we never want to take lightly, Lord, what you did for us, Lord, when you gave your life for us. And so, Lord, right now, Lord, we drink with gratitude and we eat with gratitude, Lord. We just thank you so much, Lord, for doing this for us, Lord, for paving the way for our salvation, Lord, for providing every provision we need for every area of our life. And so, Lord Jesus, right now, we not only thank you, Lord, but we just recommit, Lord, to being your hands, Lord, and your feet, Lord, to being, Lord, the people that you want us to be, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we give our hearts afresh and anew to you right now. Amen. Let's eat together. Let's drink together. Thank you. You just lift up your hands right now to him. Dear Jesus, right now, Lord, with our hands extended to you, Lord, it's a symbol of our surrender, Lord. It's a symbol of us, Lord, just saying, here we are, Lord. We're ready to be used by you, Lord. Any way you want to do it, Lord, we're available, Lord. Maybe, Lord, based on our spiritual gifts, you're calling some to pray, Lord, those that have the gift of intercession. Lord, for those that have the gift of serving and the gift of giving, Lord, maybe you're going to use them in different ways. Lord, those with the gifts of leadership, Lord, you're going to use them in different ways, Lord. Those with the gifts of prophecy, Lord, you're going to be using all of us, Lord, as we become a body of Christ, Lord, for you. But Lord, right now, we just say we surrender to you. Here we are, Lord. If you can use anyone, Lord, you can use us. We commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, we're going to close with our tithes and offerings, and Doug's going to tell us about any different activities that are coming up.
All right. There's a few things I want to let you know about here. First of all, if this is your first time here with us, in your worship guide is a communication card. You can fill this out, place it in the offering plate when it comes by. That'd be great. Also, this coming Saturday, we've got our next Pathway of Hope movie night at the Oro Valley Library. There's a pamphlet on this in your worship guide. It gives you more information on that. Stop by the Yes table on your way out or see any of the hula ladies who have the I Love to Hula t-shirt on. And Sandy wants to say a little something about that.
Thank you, Pastor Doug. When Pastor Johnny shared with us prior to him coming to the family, it put on my heart that, you know what, our building fund is on hold just for a while. So we have changed our venue as far as why we're doing the movie night. The funds we collect will go towards what Pastor has talked about. And thank you. So if you can't do a $30 bag, come and support this. I'm not pushing the night. I'm pushing the mission, because God will stretch that money, and we can make those bags. So if you'll consider that, thank you.
Thank you. All right. So come join us this Saturday. More information on that in your worship guide. Make sure you read through the rest of your worship guide also. There's lots of good information in there we want you guys to know about. All right? Thanks a lot.
So, Lord, right now we pray. You already take the offering?
Yeah.
So what? Lord, right now, I just pray, Lord, your blessing on over everyone here, Lord Jesus. I just thank you so much, Lord, for what you're speaking to us, Lord. I just pray right now, Lord, that you would continue to speak to us, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, as we sang today, Lord, speak to us through your word and through your spirit, Lord. I just pray those two things, Lord, right now as we close over our body, Lord. As we read our word, Lord, and as we just allow your spirit to speak to us, Lord, that we would just say yes to you. I pray this in your precious name, Lord. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you. Hope to see you real soon. I am your servant, and I am listening. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. My heart.
heart is yearning.